We'll interrupt our regular program to switch over to Beirut, or to Lebanon, where the Secretary General of Hezbollah said Hassan Nasrallah is speaking. Let's listen in.
To defeat the biggest plot in the resistance in the region, which was Israel's greater project, and it hammered the last screw in Israel's plot, and it forced Israel to withdraw unconditionally from Lebanese territories. And in the year 2006, we saw the project for the greater Middle East, the new Middle East. This was an American plan, and millions of dollars were spent for this great plot. And the greatest political and media machines were used to achieve this in the whole region. A lot of efforts were pursued, and wars were waged on Afghanistan and Iraq, and countries were also threatened, such as Iran and Syria, for the sake of achieving this new greater Middle East. And many international and regional countries also confronted one another, and some others collaborated with one another. The resistance was able to defeat this plot in 2006. This cleansed blood was able to defeat this plot. These people, these youngsters who were 18 and 20 and 25 years of age, were able to defeat this plot. Together with the wounded, together with the martyrs, the prisoners, the mujahideen, the resistance fighters, the supporters of the resistance who sacrificed and who showed patience and perseverance. And so, this resistance, via its sacrifices, first of all, its sacrifices and its honesty and its giving, which is unlimited, number one, and also via its victories and by its achievements, this resistance was able to reserve itself a very important status in the world, in Lebanon, the region, and in the world. A status of morale, a psychological status, which reflects the level of respect and admiration, especially the resistance of Hezbollah. The resistance of Hezbollah was able to reserve itself this status and was able to overcome all obstacles. Hezbollah is the Islamic resistance which is respected by the Christians. And it is the Islamic resistance which has a lot of support and which is founded, which was founded by Shias. It has respect from the Sunnis. It is Lebanese and is respected by the rest of the Arabs as well. It is an Arab resistance which is also respected by all Muslims who are non-Arabs. And Hezbollah is the resistance which is viewed by all those who are oppressed and subject to injustice in the third world and in the whole world in general. All of them view this resistance as an example of hope. This status, this great status, was not gained for free, was not gained out of nothing, was not gained by only speeches or by media or by slogans. This status was gained by blood and by tears and by sacrifices and by achievements and by great victories. And Hezbollah was able to reserve itself and was able to reserve for Lebanon a great status in the regional equation. And this is something which is unprecedented. Lebanon was always subject to harm, was always struck. We always spoke about people waging their wars on Lebanese territory, outside forces waging their wars on our territory. Lebanon was always subject to severe blows. Lebanon was never spoken of as a country which took action. It was subject to a country whereby action was taken against it. It was subject to blows against it. The resistance, this resistance which we are speaking of, and allow me, the resistance does not only include Hezbollah, it includes all of the resistance movements and includes all those who supported the resistance. This resistance is the only resistance in Lebanon's history. And I want to speak about Lebanon's history because I've been reading about Lebanon's history for months. This resistance is the resistance, the only resistance in Lebanon's history which made Lebanon an integral part of the regional equation. It made Lebanon an important player, an influential player in the region. It stopped Lebanon from being an arena where others waged war on its territory. This didn't happen because of the theory that Lebanon strength is in its weakness, nor because Lebanon belonged to a plot of others, nor because Lebanon tried to gain its power from the power of others. There is a difference between taking power from others and between taking assistance from others. Syria helped the resistance in Lebanon. Iran helped the resistance in Lebanon. And many of the honorable people in the world helped the resistance in Lebanon. But the resistance in Lebanon is the one which fought by itself. You are the ones who fought. You are the ones who showed perseverance. And you are the one who brought about the achievement. And so the resistance gave Lebanon this great status. Unfortunately, the enemies of Lebanon realize the value of what Lebanon has more than some Lebanese themselves realize. And so they practice these conspiracies to take away this achievement, to take away this status which Lebanon has reached, this status which makes Lebanon immune to all earthquakes and all political floods which came to the region and which could come to the region in the future. This status which makes Lebanon present and right in the center of the regional equation, which makes Lebanon respected in the eyes of the whole world. If anyone in the world comes to Lebanon, if anyone is even welcoming you outside Lebanon, it's because in Lebanon you have a resistance. This is why you are being welcomed outside Lebanon. And because in Lebanon we have a people of resistance, and because in Lebanon we have the will of the resistance, I don't mean, once again I want to stress, I don't only refer to Hezbollah when I speak about resistance in Lebanon. I speak about these supporters, this gathering, these people, this will. This is what represents the resistance in Lebanon. They all know, they know very well the value of what you possess. They might compromise with you over gas in the sea. They might agree to a compromise or to a settlement. They might compromise with you over oil or petroleum reserves in the sea, but they won't compromise with you over the resistance. They won't compromise with you over your being strong, people who possess a will, people who hang their heads high, people who confront the enemy proudly, and confronting anyone who considers themselves to be part of the enemy. But with the loved ones, with the family, you are people who bow your heads down. You are people who love. You are people who care for one another. They know the value of what you have. For this reason, they want to take it away from you. And they attempted to do this in the July 2006 war. Of course, I'm going to speak about this more on July the 30th. I'll speak about the July 2006 war. Of course, we wanted to make this ceremony on the 30th of July. We usually make the ceremony on the 14th of August because it was the end of the war, but 14th of August is in the month of Ramadan, so we tried to specify a certain date, and we decided on the 30th of July. So we will have a ceremony. Of course, Hajj Abu Hassan requested, and the president also said that high-ranking officials will visit Lebanon on the 30th of July, and the president has a program, has a certain agenda when these visitors come. So we agreed to delay the ceremony to invigorate the celebrate the anniversary of the July 2006 war on the 3rd, on the 3rd of July. On the 3rd of July, we will have a ceremony regarding the anniversary of the July 2006 war. But anyway, in the July 2006 war, they wanted to crush the resistance. They didn't want to disarm the resistance. They didn't want to force the resistance to withdraw from to the south of the Litani River. They didn't want to take away rocket capabilities from the resistance. No. Everybody knows, big and small, all of them know, and this is something which everybody realizes, there are certain issues which everybody knows, which everybody speaks about, which everybody have unanimous agreement over, and when you speak about it, they say, no, who said this? No, we don't agree. Everybody knew that the aim of the July 2006 war was to crush the resistance, not just to disable it or to take away its capabilities, but they were incapable of crushing the resistance. In the July 2006 war, they tried to crush the resistance, but the resistance crushed them. The resistance crushed their plan, crushed their plot. After that, the plan became clear. After the July 2006 war failed, they attempted to tarnish the image of the resistance. What's their problem with Hezbollah? What do they have against Hezbollah? Is it because Hezbollah is a political party? No. The Europeans meet with us, meet with our MPs, the Asians meet with us, the Africans meet with us. Of course, some people don't meet with us because we don't want to meet with them, not because they don't want to meet with us. Even the Americans, they have strived more than once to meet with us, and we refuse to meet with them. There are some analysts who say that the Americans want to open channels with the resistance. No, don't bother. They tried to do this before, and we closed the door. We closed the door because from our perspective, America is Israel. America supports Israel, America has always protected Israel, and America is employing Israel. And America is the one which waged the war, which created the war in July 2006. Israel implemented the war, but America created the war. Anyway, I want to say something. We are, of course, preoccupied with many, many issues. The problem with the world is not that Hezbollah is a political party. On the contrary, even the Americans, they want Hezbollah to become a complete political party. And this is something which everybody knows, everybody realizes. Their problem, is it because Hezbollah is an Islamic movement? No. We've had many Islamic movements throughout history. Some of these movements have friendly relations with America and with the West. Where is the problem? So where does the problem lie? The problem with Hezbollah lies in the fact that it's a resistance movement. The problem with Hezbollah and those groups which are similar to Hezbollah, the problem with such groups is that Hezbollah refuses Lebanon to be a weak country. The problem is that Hezbollah refuses to be protected by outside forces. The problem is that Hezbollah refuses anyone in this world to come and impose humiliating conditions on it. This is their problem with Hezbollah. They refuse this American Israeli settlement which wants to export the territory and deny territories from many people, to deny these people this territory. This is the problem with Hezbollah. And the problem is that Hezbollah is against this. So the war on this resistance in different forms, the war in different forms will continue. We all heard, and here I'm not inventing things, Jeffrey Feltman, the U.S. Deputy Assistant Secretary of State, said, and he said this in front of the Congress. The Congress will ask Feltman, come, these hundreds of millions of dollars which you spent in Lebanon, what did you spend them for? Feltman, who was a former U.S. ambassador to Lebanon. Don't the Americans know that their plot in Lebanon has failed? Of course they do. Of course, we must recognize the enemies, of course, there's something good with the enemy. They recognize when they fail, they recognize when they win. When they win, they say they win. When they lose, they say they lose, the enemies. Of course, in Lebanon, the Arab world, nobody confesses to a victory or to a failure. This is a positive point with the enemy. In the July 2006 war, for example, all of Israel agreed that they failed. All of Israel agreed that Israeli military failed. All of the Israeli factions, the military, the politicians, the Israeli media, the Knesset, the newspapers, the Israeli religious scholars, all of them agreed that Israel failed. But in the Arab world, no. They said, no, how can we confess that the resistance in Lebanon defeated Lebanon? This is what the Arab world, some of those in the Arab world said. Because this is not only bad for the Israelis, it's bad for the Arabs. The Israelis agreed to reevaluate their performance, but some of the Arabs didn't agree to reevaluate the stances they took towards the resistance in July 2006. So they resorted to a new measure, which was to tarnish the image of the resistance. And Feltman said, we paid $500 million. Jeffrey Feltman said, we paid this amount of money to tarnish Hezbollah's reputation or its image. But what was the result? I want to answer. I want to answer because we want to build on this. We're not afraid, by the way. We're not afraid for ourselves, nor are we afraid for our image. We are afraid for the country and for the atmosphere which some people want to create in this country. What was the result? The result was a failure. Of course, this was not the first time. Ever since 1982, if you remember, what was being written in America and in Europe and in the world, even in the Arab world? We haven't been targeted for 4 years only. Ever since we were founded, we've been targeted. Since 1982, we've been targeted and whipped. And our image has been targeted, our reputation has been targeted, our dignity has been targeted. But at that period, we didn't have capabilities to defend ourselves. We didn't have television, we didn't have internet, even the Arab satellite stations. We didn't have very famous Arab satellite stations, and the control on the media at that time was centralized. But now the situation is different. Not $500 million was spent for 28 years. Hundreds of millions of dollars were spent to tarnish the image of this resistance and also to tarnish the image of the resistance in Lebanon. But what was the result? The result was, you can just go, the Americans also, look at the opinion polls in the Arab and Islamic world. The opinion polls always show that the resistance comes first and foremost. The symbols of the resistance in the region come first and foremost. The leaders of resistance are always first and foremost in the opinion polls. This is the atmosphere in our region, the atmosphere amongst our people. So they want to tarnish this image, and for the sake of tarnishing the image, they spent hundreds of millions of dollars, billions of dollars, and they are continuing to do this. But the results were always against them, against their wishes. Today, they want to begin with a new measure, a new procedure. And this is what led me to speak about this issue, the issue which I referred to during the last few days. They want to speak about the International Tribunal into the assassination of former Lebanese Prime Minister Rafiq Hariri. They want to take advantage of this sympathetic humanitarian cause which all Lebanese agree to, which all Islamic people, which the whole world agrees to. The whole world agrees that this is a noble humanitarian cause, the cause of Rafiq Hariri. A lot was said, and I don't want to respond to anyone, but I want to complete what I said before, what I previously said. From day one, I divided what I wanted to say. I spoke on the speech, I spoke during the press conference, and today, on the day of the martyrs, and also on August the 3rd, I will also speak, and at the end, I will also have a press conference before the holy month of Ramadan. So, before August the 11th. So I've divided what I want to say into these four or five occasions, because if I want to speak about them in one package, it'll be too much. Because I care for this country, because Hezbollah cares for this country, let's speak one by one in a step-by-step basis, because we want to reach an objective, which is to protect the country and to protect the resistance. Nobody has any other aim. We in Lebanon, we all want to know the truth about the assassination of former Premier Rafiq Hariri, the Martyr Rafiq Hariri. This is a non-sectarian, non-party affiliated issue which has unanimous national agreement. So we all agree to this, to uncovering the truth of Hariri's assassination. This is not a family issue, his assassination. And I'd like to say, nobody called on the family of the Martyr Rafiq Hariri. Nobody requested from his wife, nor from his sons or daughters, nobody requested from them to leave this truth, to put this truth aside and to forget it. No, nobody made such a request. The family did not make such a request, and nobody requested of the family to call for this. The cause of Rafiq Hariri is no longer a family cause for the family to abandon it or not. It is a national cause, the cause of a nation, of a people. And I spoke in the press conference, I said that the repercussions of this assassination affected all of us, and all of us in Lebanon paid the costs of the repercussions of this assassination, all of us in Lebanon. We all want to know the truth, first of all, and we all want justice to be served. When we know the truth, I tell you right from now, when we know the truth, and I'd like to tell you, we want justice to be served. We don't want anyone to be forgiven. We don't want anyone to be given amnesty or to be pardoned for such a crime. And so for this reason, all Lebanese must cooperate with one another, and all Lebanese must stand shoulder to shoulder. And the main source of the argument or the debate which we're witnessing now in Lebanon regarding the International Tribunal and before that regarding the investigation, the main debate is about this, about the beginning, is about the following. Is an international investigation, is an international committee which is formed by the Americans and by the British government? And now to respect our guest, I don't want to say the British, our guest George Galloway. So I speak about the British government and country X, Y, and Z. Is an investigative committee formed by the American, British government and other governments, and a committee whereby the officers are officers who come from intelligence agencies who are very close to the Israeli Mossad, an investigative committee to investigate an issue of such a magnitude? This was something which we questioned at the beginning. Does such a committee achieve the objective we want to achieve or not? The path on which the investigative committee walked on, is it a path which leads us to the truth and hence leads us to justice? Because there are two stages, my dear brothers. Justice is based on knowing the truth. Whatever, anything based on non-truth is injustice, is oppression, is unacceptable. Anything based on non-truth is a second assassination of the Premier and former or the Martyr Rafiq Hariri, because it holds the innocent accountable and makes those guilty appear innocent, or makes those guilty get away with their crimes. The behavior and the performance of the investigative committee before the tribunal was formed, was it an appropriate behavior? Was it an appropriate performance? Did such a performance, would it have led us to knowing the truth? No. No, and I have witnesses, I have evidence which proves this. This investigative committee which was formed to investigate this crime was not qualified to reach the truth. What enables us to reach the truth is a noble investigation, a noble technical transparent investigation. A noble technical transparent investigation behaves in the following manner. And this is how all judicial and security services work. They put all the assumptions, they study all possibilities. Who could have possibly assassinated the Martyr Rafiq Hariri? Who has the motive? They list who has the motive. Who has the interest? They list who has the interest. Who has the capability? They list who has the capability. Who has the motive and the interest and the capability? We list all of these sides together. And so we have a list of assumptions and possibilities which we must look into. The investigative committee into Hariri's assassination never behaved in this way. It never took all the assumptions into consideration. I say this to everyone who wants to know the truth. The investigative committee never behaved in this way, never looked into all possible assumptions. From day one, the investigative committee looked into one possibility. When you investigate, you look at all assumptions and you investigate. But what the investigative committee is, they framed and then they looked for evidence. Nobody works in this way if you want to work in a professional manner. And this is continuing until now. So if the truth is not uncovered, justice will not be served and injustice will occur. We call for justice to be served. Justice is or means that those who assassinated Rafiq Hariri must be held accountable. But to hold those who did not assassinate him, to hold them accountable, this is the highest level of injustice. And this is where the debate lies. Do you want to know the truth? Okay. We always said we are ready. Let's go ahead. Let's collaborate with one another. Let's cooperate. But the behavior of some Lebanese political forces, the behavior of the International Investigative Committee, the behavior of the current special prosecutor, the behavior of the International Tribunal, is it the behavior of people who want to know the truth? I have two witnesses. I don't want to speak about everything tonight because, as I said, I've distributed my speeches on four or five occasions. The first witness are the false witnesses, and the second, those who created the false witnesses. Mr. Special Prosecutor, come and hold the false witnesses accountable because they misled the investigation. First of all, nobody doubts in this country, nobody doubts that the witnesses were false witnesses. This is a case closed. This is something which everybody agrees on. The false witnesses whom we know, we have four names of false witnesses. And there are some who are still hidden and who still haven't confessed, are continuing to play the game. His name is Muhammad Zuhair al-Siddiq. The other three spoke and they recorded their voices, regardless of where they are now. I call on the special prosecutor, investigate with the false witnesses. He said, no, it's not my speciality, it's not my area of specialization. Isn't it the duty of the International Tribunal to see who misled the investigation? Isn't it a way to uncover the truth, to look for who created the false witnesses, to see if those who created the false witnesses are related or connected to the killers or not? This is how a normal judiciary works, except for the International Tribunal into the Hariri assassination. They don't work in this way. We called on the Lebanese judiciary. They said, no, it's not my area of specialization. The security services said the same thing, the Lebanese security services. The false witnesses misled the investigation for 4 years, and a lot was based on what they said. And it's not the speciality of anyone to interrogate with them or to hold them accountable. Is this justice? If anyone wants to achieve justice, is this the way they behave? Anyone who wants to uncover the truth, is this the way they behave? Not interrogating or questioning false witnesses? So put the false witnesses aside. We all know these false witnesses, did they come and testify by themselves from their own will? No. At least three of them, besides Muhammad Zuhair al-Siddiq, at least three of them held press conferences. And what do they say? They say, Mr. X brought us, Mr. Y gave us money, Mr. Z took us to this specific apartment, Mr. X told us what to say. And all of those are Lebanese. All of them are Lebanese. And some of the members of the International Investigative Committee took part in the interrogation of these false witnesses. Don't the Lebanese people, don't the Lebanese in general, don't those who love Rafiq Hariri, don't they have the right to see the questioning? Don't they have the right to see, to find out why these false witnesses misled the investigation for 4 years? Why can't the Lebanese people know? Question them, interrogate with them, hold them accountable, punish them. Don't you want to hold them accountable? Don't you want to punish them? Then at least kick them out of your forces, kick them out of your teams. One of the false witnesses is still living by your money, is still living by your assistance, is still under your protection. All of those people who fabricated the false witnesses all of those sides which fabricated the false witnesses are still being taken care of today. Is this the way you achieve the truth? Is this the way you uncover the truth? Some people might say that Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah made a tense speech. They might say this tomorrow. If someone speaks the truth, does this mean he's creating tension in their region or in the country? Whoever has a logical way of responding to me, let him come and respond to me. Did these false witnesses fall down from the sky? Isn't there a certain side which created them? Who created them? Let's go and ask this false witness, who created you? Based upon what were these false witnesses created? Isn't this what helps us uncover the truth? Go ahead, take these steps. Why don't you take these steps? I'm asking questions. I don't want answers because I know the answers from now. I'm asking questions so that the people can ask themselves. And when I request something, I'm not requesting something so it can be achieved. I'm requesting just to say that I asked for the sake of asking, that I made this request, but I know what the answers will be. Now there is a discussion in the country. Today, former Lebanese Prime Minister Salim Al-Hoss, whom we all respect, and who was humiliated and who was insulted a lot for 4 or 5 years, today he made a call. He has a certain description which he makes concerning the country and concerning the tension in the region. I respect what former Prime Minister Salim Al-Hoss says. I might agree or disagree with his description, but the fundamental part of what he said, I agree with it. So does Hezbollah. When a resistance will be assaulted and when Lebanon will be assaulted, we have a cabinet of ministers which must take responsibility. Salim Al-Hoss called for this responsibility. I agree. Salim Al-Hoss called for such a meeting. So if the cabinet of ministers is called for to hold a meeting to discuss a possible war, we support it. If they call for a national dialogue to discuss this, we agree. Why? Because we care for this country. We care for the resistance. We are telling the whole world a conspiracy is being practiced against the country, against the region. Not to look for an exit, no. I said in the press conference, and I repeat once again, anybody in this world, if anybody wants to sit down with us and to tell us that one of Hezbollah is accused, I won't sit with anyone to listen to them saying one of Hezbollah's members is accused. If anyone wants to sit down with us and to tell us that one of Hezbollah's members are accused, let's reach a settlement on this, no, we refuse. We refuse. Why? Because something is being prepared. Now, if someone wants to sit down with us and say something is being prepared, let's sit down and see how can we react on a league based on legal foundations for the sake of this country, then we are ready to sit down, yes. We, first and foremost, care for this country. We care for a national unity government. We care for stability and security, etc., etc. So for this reason, if such a meeting takes place, if a national dialogue session takes place or a cabinet meeting takes place, we call on the Hezbollah ministers. And if a national dialogue session is called for, we call for Hezbollah's representatives in this session. What we're going to say is the following. Do you want to cooperate? Okay. Put together a Lebanese committee. Let's forget Belmar. Let's forget an international committee, an international tribunal. We are Lebanese. Aren't we the ones whom are witnessing conspiracies, whom are subject to conspiracies? We are one side which are being subject to conspiracies. And what the Israeli media is saying is right. It is in agreement with what we said. The Israeli information, which the Israelis have, is the information they got from the International Tribunal, from the Special Prosecutor Daniel Belmar. What the Israelis said was also said by Lebanese security officials. They said that the first indictment will indict 3 Hezbollah officials, the second will indict 20, the third 30, and the fourth 50 Hezbollah officials or Hezbollah members. So who are you joking? Are we joking with one another? Previously, Condoleezza Rice told the Israelis, be silent. You're ruining the situation for us in Lebanon. It seems now nobody is telling anyone to anyone. Nobody is saying anything to anyone, sorry. A lot of what the Israelis said is in agreement with the information we have. We don't have analysis, we have information. We're not getting what we say from newspapers. And the day will come whereby all of these facts, all of the truth will be uncovered. The whole truth will be uncovered. What we want, let's put together a Lebanese committee, a parliamentary committee, or a judicial committee, or a ministerial committee, or a security committee, or a mixed committee. Let's put together a committee which brings these false witnesses, 3 plus 1, who is Muhammad Zuhair al-Sadiq. Let them go and get Sadiq wherever he is, and they know where he is because they transported him. They're paying for his protection. They're paying for his residence outside. Let this committee sit down with these false witnesses, ask them questions. Who taught you? Who fabricated you? Who taught you? Who asked you questions? Who sent you to the interrogation and who sent you back and who gave you more information? Who told you what you had to say? So the rope of lies is short. We'll reach the truth. If you want to begin reacting in a serious manner and addressing the situation in a serious manner, this is the way we should behave. We don't have conditions. We have proposals. This is one of our proposals. Whoever wants to prove that he is cautious and really intent on achieving the truth must begin from here, from forming a Lebanese committee. When he looks at the faces of the politicians and the media people and the security officials and the judicial officials who participated in fabricating false witnesses, anyone must not put up with looking at the faces of these people who took part in participating or who took part in fabricating these witnesses. This is a normal way to start, by forming such a committee. We are intent on the well-being of this country. We are intent on doing anything possible to protect the well-being of this country and to protect the resistance, and what we are intent on doing anything which serves the security and stability of the country. We support all Lebanese who want to uncover the truth. We, along with all other Lebanese, we want justice to be served. But in addition, we won't allow the image of our resistance, which is the most valuable of our treasures and which we sacrifice the most valuable of our treasures for. We are against tarnishing the image of such a resistance. This is the will of the martyrs, and you and I will preserve this, will preserve the path which the martyrs worked on. So I salute you. I salute the sons and daughters of the martyrs. I salute all those who support the martyrs. I salute this gathering. I salute.
Well, you've just been listening to Hezbollah Secretary General Seyed Hassan Nasrallah making an address in Beirut.